Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Shavuot. If you'll be in Jerusalem at the end of this week for Shavuot, then I urge you to come by Pardes for Tikkun Leil Shavuot this Saturday evening, May 26th. The Pardes building is going to be hopping, and you are welcome with the first session starting at 11 p.m. More details on the Pardes website. This week, Neiman Novetzky discusses Shavuot. Neiman Novetzky is a member of the Pardes faculty. Her focus is Tanakh. And now, Neiman Novetzky.
Thank you, Larry. The holiday of Shavuot is fast approaching. A holiday where we do lots of learning, eat lots of cheesecake, celebrate the harvest, but mostly celebrate the receiving of the Torah. Chag Matan Torateinu, a holiday in which, as part of receiving the Torah, we really became a nation. What I wanted to talk about in this podcast is two models of how people outside of Israel might become part of our nation. If Shavuot is about accepting the Torah, it's also about other people coming in and becoming close to Hashem. And I wanted to look at two models, the model of Rut and the model of Yitro, two people whom Chazal, who the sages say at least, converted to Judaism, look at the processes that each underwent, try to figure out what it was that motivated them to convert, to become part of Am Yisrael, to come close to Torat Am Yisrael. Was the process a difficult one? What made it hard? What made it easy? Now, the truth is, to begin with, we should note, not everyone even agrees that either of these two converted. It never says so explicitly in Tanakh. But there are two models that many accept as having converted to Judaism. Let's start with Yitro's journey. According to some, Yitro converted even before he met Moshe. According to others, he never converted ever. He remained an idolater and a polytheist to the end of his days. Others hold that Yitro's point of conversion was right before Matan Torah, when Yitro came to visit Moshe in the desert, as described in Shemot chapter 18. It is that approach that we're going to hold according to today. What I want to do, though, is to start before that. What led Yitro to this decision to convert, to come to Hashem, to come and be part of Matan Torah? So I'm going to combine several different midrashim. Some work together, some a little less so, and see where that takes us. Let's start with a source from Yalkut Shimoni, who sets the stage in Paro's court in the very beginning of the enslavement. The midrash tells us, "Vayhi kimloch Paro Mitzrayim," when Paro started to reign over Egypt, Paro hardened his heart against all of Egypt, and in addition, against the house of Yaakov, in other words, the Israelites. He starts to seek the advice of three of his advisors. He tells them, "Look, the Israelites are multiplying, what should I do?" And the Midrash goes and tells us how he got certain advice from Bil'am, how he got certain advice from Iyov, and thirdly, how he got advice from Yitro, also named Reuel. Vayan Reuel hamidaniyat hamelech, im al hamelech tov, al tishlach yet chabam. Reuel tells the king, "If you're looking for good, if it please you, don't send forth your hand against the Israelites. Ki Eloheim bachar bamimei kedem, for they have been chosen by their gods from ages ago." V'ikachem l'chav anachlatom migol goyer aretz, he has chosen them from all the other nations. Umi b'chol malchei ha'aretz esher shalach bam yado v'nika. There's no one who has ever set forth a hand against them who hasn't then been punished. Hello, beredet Avraham mitzrayim ha'vitza, paro lakachat etzarei ishto v'yina ge'ehu Hashem nigeim. For example, when Avram went down to Egypt, and Paro had taken Sarah, Hashem then went and punished Paro with plagues. Gam la Avimelech, and he tells similarly with Avimelech, etc. He says, if you want to know what's good for you, don't destroy them. But if you don't want to have them in Egypt, fine, send them away, let them go to Canaan. Paro gets very mad at Yitro, and he's forced to run away. So already from this original source, we see Yitro still an outsider, an advisor in Paro's court, but already with a certain attitude towards Am Yisrael and towards the God of Am Yisrael. He looks at Hashem and he says, look, this nation is a chosen one. Don't fiddle with them. We fast forward a couple of years. We don't hear from Yitro in Tanakh until Moshe comes to him. From that story alone, we would have no clue about Yitro coming close to Moshe and to Torah or not. We don't even know where Moshe is holding until he gets the vision by the Sneb, by the burning bush. Moshe then leaves Midian, goes to Egypt, does the plagues, takes Bnei Yisrael out. The next time that we meet Yitro is in Parshat Yitro, when he comes to greet the nation at Har Sinai. There we're told that he goes out to greet Moshe. Moshe greets him back. And one of the sentences that we see there, he says, "Atayadati ki gadol Hashem mikol halokim." Now I know that God is greater than all the other gods. It is this line that many associate with his declaration of conversion and saying, "I am now accepting the God of the Jews as my God, and I am becoming Jewish." But again, we wonder, what turn of events led to this? How did we get from that advisor who, yes, said that Israel is a chosen nation to him actually deciding to choose that nation? So the Midrash picks up on the very first line of this chapter, which says, "Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midian." Yitro heard something and he came. And they question, what is it that they heard? And various options are given in the Midrash. Mashmua shama uban benit gayer. What was the rumor, what was the hearing that he heard that led him to convert? Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Nechamet Amalek Shama. Rabbi Yeshua said, what did he hear? He heard about the war against Amalek that's described in the previous Parsha. K'tiv v'tzido v'yachalosh Yoshua et Amalek v'et amol ofi charev. He says, right before our story, we hear how Yoshua had defeated Amalek. That's what led Yitro to convert. Okay? This might follow along the footsteps of the previous Midrash, saying that what is it that led? He sees the success of Am Yisrael. He sees how they're a chosen nation. He sees how God is always with him. That's what leads him to convert. Rabbi Eliezer HaModi Amar, Matan Torah Shema Oba. Rabbi Eliezer HaModi says that our parsha is actually out of order, and Yitro really came after Matan Torah, and it's the hearing of the revelation of God that leads him to come. Rabbi Eliezer, a third opinion says, Kriat Yamsuf Shema Oba. No. He heard what happened at Yamsuf, and he came. What's the difference between the three different opinions? So on one level, like we said with Amalek, that's maybe the success story. If we take the revelation story, then perhaps what we're saying is, somehow he heard of the revelation, he heard of God revealing himself to man, and perhaps some spiritual spark inside of him is touched and said, there is a God out there, this is he, and he comes. What about Yamsuf? So many suggest that what did he see in Yamsuf? He saw the justice of God. And that's what made him come and turn. God had destroyed the enemy, the one who'd been the oppressor, who that one had been unjust, and allowed the oppressed to go free. God is just. That's the God who I'm going to worship. Interestingly, the Midrash in general doesn't stop with the conversion of Yitro, but actually also says that Moshe himself was encouraged to accept that conversion. On the words, Vayomer al Moshe, Nicholtencha Yitro Bailecha, when Yitro is about to arrive in front of Moshe, he sends messengers before him and tells him, look, I am coming to greet you. And we read there that Hashem tells Moshe at this stage, Anihu shekirafti et Yitro velo rechativ. I brought Yitro close, I didn't distim him. Af ata, kishiyavo adam etzlacha lehitgayer. You too, if someone comes to you to convert, ve'no ba ela l'shem shamayim, and he's really coming in the name of heaven for good reasons, afata karvehu velo tarchikeu. You two bring him close, don't distance him. So interestingly, God, knowing that Yitro is coming here to convert, coming to find out more about Judaism, the whole reason he's coming to Har Sinai is in order to become part of the nation, he warns Moshe in advance. Moshe, make sure you don't distance him. Right? I understand Yitro is an other. He's not part of you yet. But no, if he's coming because he truly wants to be part of you, accept him, bring him in. Okay? And another midrash follows and says, Vayisaper Moshe lechotno, Moshe goes and tells Yitro the story of all the things that had happened since he had last seen him. And the Yitro and the midrash emphasizes, this is the Nechalta, lemoshcho lekarvo l'Torah. Why does he do that? To pull him in, to bring him close to the Torah. Moshe is going to tell him all these stories and show him the greatness of Hashem, show him the wonders of Judaism, to bring him close. One last midrash about Yitro, which I think is interesting. The wording of Yitro's declaration of faith, many people find a little odd, because it says, Ata yadati ki gadol Hashem mikol Elohim. Now I know God is the greatest of all gods. Well, if you believe in God as a monotheist, then what's the of all gods? There shouldn't be any other gods. So the midrash points out, Ad achshav lo halodalot b'davar ki gadol Hashem, amar, mitchila lo haya oved yachol, sorry, mitchila lo haya eved yachol livroach mi Mitzrayim, shayta soger du musugeret. V'achshav hotisham shishim ribo b'nei adam mi Mitzrayim. Says, now, upon viewing the Exodus, noting that Egypt used to be closed to everybody, no one would be able to come in or come out unless they had explicit permission, and now this God has somehow managed to take out 600,000 people, the kach ne'amar ki gadol Hashem. In this, he recognized the greatness of Hashem. Uma tamud amar mikol elokim. But what does it mean from all other gods? Amru, lo hiniach Yitro avodah zara bechol ha'olam shelo chazar aleha v'avda she'ne'amar mikol elokim. They say, what do we learn from this? That Yitro had tried out every single form of avodah zara in the entire world, and he had worshipped them, and now he's finally come to the conclusion that of all those things he tried out, this is the only true religion. Looking at all these different sources together, I think we get a very interesting picture of one type of path to Judaism, one type of path towards Hashem, getting closer to Torah, to God. This is a person, apparently Yitro, was naturally inquisitive about religion. He must have been a spiritual person. As we know, Yitro was Kohen Midian. He was a priest. From the very beginning, before he knew anything about Judaism, he had some desire to seek out God. That perhaps is what led him to be a priest in Midian. According to that last midrash we read, that's what led him to try and to question and to think and to look. Today, if he was living, he would have gone to India, and then he would have gone to other Eastern religions and tried out Christianity until he finally tried out Judaism. He's searching. And in some ways, it's a very individual path towards Judaism. He's seeking a relationship with God. He tries out all different types. Part of him has always recognized that there was something different about Judaism. Somehow that nation was always successful. Their God seemed to have been with them. But it's not just that. There's something spiritual there. There's a revelation. There's a justice. Until he finally manages to get to Judaism. But I think as important is that the Midrash also recognizes, though, that that alone wouldn't have been enough. The other thing that he needed was a Moshe to accept him. A Moshe who Hashem has to tell, Karvehu, bring him close. A Moshe who's trying, Limshoho Tola Torah, bring him close to Torah. The desire, the seeking, is sometimes not enough if there's no one to give you some of those answers. If there's no one to help you bring you in and to help you feel accepted. Let's contrast his path now with that of Ruth. Again, we'll start with, where's Ruth coming from? If the Midrash tells us that Yitro started off as one of the advisors of Paro, the Midrash tells us that Ruth was a daughter of kings. In Sanhedrin we read, Ruth hayta bat bito shel Eglon ben mino shel Balak. She's coming from a princely line, the kings of Moab. We're not talking about some ordinary nobody. This is someone who's coming rooted in a different culture, high up in that culture, not necessarily having any reason to leave it behind. But nonetheless, she does decide to leave it behind, and to leave all of Moab behind. As many know, the story of Ruth is the story of Naomi, her mother-in-law, who has been living in Israel because of a famine, comes to live in Moab. Her kids get married, one of them to Ruth. When Naomi's sons die, her husband dies, she decides it's time to go back to Israel. And that's where we have the speech that most people hold as Ruth's conversion speech. So let's see what happens. As Naomi starts leaving, she tells Ruth, "Go home. What do you need to come with me for? You have a family here. You don't have to come with me back to Israel." And Ruth answers, "V'tomer Ruth, al tifgi'i bi la'azvich, la'shuv me'achareach." She says, "Don't plead with me to leave you. Ki al asher telchi elech, wherever you will go, I will go. U'basher telini alin, wherever you will rest, I will rest. V'elokayach elokai, and your God will be my God. Basher tamuti yamut, wherever you die, I will die. V'shame kaver, there I will be buried. Ko yaseh Hashem li v'chol yosif, ki amavet yafrid b'ni u'b'nayach. I swear that only death will part between me and you." Rashi on these psukim read into it a very technical understanding of Ruth's acceptance of the Torah and mitzvot. And seeing every single line that Ruth mentioned here, an acceptance of a knowledge of what becoming Jewish will entail. He says, "Mikan amru rabotinu zal, ger shebal etgayer, modiim lo miktzat onshim. Shem ba lachzor bo yachzor, tzitzlicha, shem ba yachzor bo yachzor." Rashi says, from the story of Ruth, from these two lines that we just read, we learned that when a ger comes to convert, we tell him some of the punishments that are involved if he doesn't adhere to the Torah. Why? So that if he decides he doesn't want to be part of it, he has that option. He's not coming in blind, but he actually knows what's in store for him. So what do we see? Shemitoch dvarim sharut atalamed sharmala na'ami asur lanu latzeit chutz tchum shabbat. He says, look, from the words of Ruth to Naomi, we hear what Naomi had told Ruth previously. One, she had told her that on Shabbat you can't go past a certain border. How do we know that? Amarla, v'asher telchi elech. Because Ruth says, no, wherever you're allowed to go, that's where I'll go. Asur lanu lehityached nekivam zachar. She also taught her that you're not allowed to be alone, a man and a woman, unless he's your husband. Amarla, v'asher telini alin. How do we know that? Because she said, wherever you sleep, I'll sleep. Wherever you'll be alone, I'll be alone. She tells her, our nation is different than other nations because we have 613 mitzvot we have to keep. How do we see that? Because Ruth said, whatever your nation does, my nation will do. I'll do that. And he goes on and on with the rest of the terms in the verse. So for Rashi, this statement is a statement of whatever Judaism entails, I'll go along with it. Don't worry. I understand what I'm coming into. I understand that it's hard. I understand that there might be lots of obligations, that there might be punishments. I'm willing to do it. The truth is, though, that a simple reading of the verses, I think, is a slightly different picture of where Ruth's coming from. When we read these verses and Ruth tells Naomi, please don't make me leave. Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you sleep, I'll sleep. Your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I'll die. Let death only separate us. I think we hear a very different path to coming to Torah and Judaism. This is what we might call the social path, the path of someone wanting to be with a person, and because of who that person is, wanting to take on that God. Ruth here wants to be with Naomi. Something about Naomi touched her. Perhaps her values, what she stood for. And she says, if that's what Judaism is about, if Naomi is an example of Judaism, well, then I want to be Jewish too. It's seeing Judaism reflected in people that leads you to God. Her story also continues past our declaration of conversion. And I think it also has something to say about, well, what happens post the declaration? I've decided I want to join. How do I ensure that joining actually happens? So when Ruth and Naomi come back into Israel, they're very poor. And as we know, Ruth decides that she's going to go out and glean in the fields. And she gleans in the fields of Boaz, and Boaz watches her from afar, and she finds favor in his eyes, and so he actually asks people to help her out, etc. And she says in response, "Madua matzati chein be'inach alaha kireni v'anochi nachriya." A very interesting response. He says, well, why have I found favor in your eyes? I'm a foreigner. And so we get a little insight as to how Ruth might have felt. Even if Ruth did convert according to the Midrash, apparently she still felt somewhat as an outsider. Right? Why are you taking an interest in me? I'm a foreigner. Who am I? If we remember from our discussion of Yitro and Moshe, Hashem had warned Moshe, accept him. And we wonder, well, was Ruth accepted or not? Did people look at her funny? Did people say, oh, she's still a Moabite or not? And Boaz tells her, well, the reason that you did is because I saw how you treated Naomi. I saw that you were willing to leave your father and your mother, the whole land that you grew up in. You were ready to go to a nation that you didn't know from yesterday, the day before. And he wishes her that Hashem should reward her. Why? Let your reward be complete from God, who you have come to find refuge under his wings. So here we start to see another side. Apparently, at some point at least, when Ruth comes back to Judaism, she's coming, yes, perhaps because of that model of who Naomi was, but through her she recognizes who Hashem is as coming to seek refuge under his wings. Interestingly, later on in the book, we see the same exact phrase used in a slightly different setting. When Ruth goes to Boaz and sleeps at the edges of his bed as a way of telling him that she wants to marry him, his reaction is the following. Vayomer miat. He doesn't know who's sleeping there, and he says, who are you? Vatomer anochi Rut amatchash. He says, I'm Rut, your servant. Ufarasta knafecha al amatacha ki goelat. And she requests of him, please go and bring forth your wings to be over your maidservant. Using that same language of finding refuge under someone's wings. Here, though, it's not the wings of Hashem, but the wings of Boaz. And I think it emphasizes the idea that it's not enough to just want to get back to God, but you have to be accepted by the people around you. She finds refuge under Hashem, but she also needs to find refuge under the people within Am Yisrael. If we look at Ruth as a whole then, again, it shows us a different path towards Am Yisrael, a different path towards Hashem. Sometimes it's not necessarily a natural curiosity, a spiritual intensely looking and searching and questioning, like it was perhaps with Yitro. But it's more a looking around at the people around you and saying, well, who's the kind of person I want to be? Naomi's that type of person. There's something about her that's calling out to me. What made her the way she is? Oh, her Judaism. I want that too. But what's common about both the stories of Yitro and Ruth is that conversion's not the end. Both of them have the potential to always be an other. But the two of them find people who accept them. Yitro's coming to a Moshe who's opening up his arms and trying to pull him close to Torah. Ruth comes to Israel and at first might feel like a foreigner, but there's a Boaz out and looking again at who she is and saying, look, she's a model of a person that I would want to be, even though other people see her as Moabite. I recognize that she's Jewish, and I'm going to accept her, and I'm going to take her in. And when he does, that's what's going to allow her to be the mother of Malchut. So I think looking at these two different models might help us in general in our own paths in life. Questioning is okay. Questioning is what leads us to different places. Recognizing that being Jewish means that you should be living a certain type of life, a life that when outsiders look in, they should want to be that type of person. And perhaps also the idea that we should accept the people who are trying to a people who are looking, help them answer their questions, not let them feel like foreigners. And with that, I wish everybody a Chag Shavuot Sameach.
Thank you, Neymar. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.